This is The Sun on the Strip. Welcome back, and thank you for listening. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip in this third week of December. Joining me today, once again, from the staff of Las Vegas Weekly Magazine, is Associate Editor Mike Privat. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
You're the first two-time visitor on The Sun on the Strip. There's going to be a plaque as you leave the studio today.
Or just hatch marks on the wall.
Exactly. This is going to be the last episode of this podcast until the new year, so we have a bunch of stuff to talk about. End of the year, always a busy time with lots of huge events on the Strip. But this year there's one property that is clearly sucking up most of this energy, and that would be Park MGM. It's opening most of the, I guess, the final pieces of its renovation from being the Monte Carlo. So the new Roy Choi restaurant, Best Friend, opens this week, as does the, it's called La La Noodle Bar. And then after Christmas, the big Italian food destination, Italy, opens, as does the new nightclub On the Record right before New Year's Eve. But maybe the thing with the highest profile at Park MGM is the opening of Lady Gaga's headlining residency at Park Theater, which I wrote a ton of words about for this week's issue of Las Vegas Weekly. I think this show is going to have a huge impact on the Strip, and that kind of world of the musical residency show, which is still probably the most dominant kind of show and big ticket seller on the Strip these days. What do you think? What do you think about Gaga in Vegas?
So I always thought she was a natural fit, given her showmanship, the fact that she always seemed to like playing here. I've seen her several times here, and she seemed to always like being here. The spectacle of her shows, even from the second time I saw her at the Palms, the Pearl? It was on that very first album, and there was still something very high-tech, very eye-popping about it. And I thought, well, you know, if they ever, and this was, you know, this was like 8 or 9 years ago, I'm like, if they start bringing in residents who are younger, she's a natural for it. But I've always heard her talk down the West Coast in the past, and it sounds like she's gotten over it. Maybe the money was too hard to pass up. Maybe she wanted to count herself among all these other people who perform in Vegas now. But this is definitely ideal for Park. It's ideal for Vegas. And it couldn't come at a better time, given that she's got this huge hit movie, and she now has the option of playing the two different shows now that she's well-practiced in doing both pop music and singing over jazz music. So this is definitely striking when the iron's hot.
Yeah, I think timing is essential with this. I wouldn't say I've ever been a fan of Lady Gaga, but I did kind of immerse myself in what she's been doing lately so that I could write that weekly story. So I watched the Netflix documentary 5'2", which is very good. I would recommend that. And I also went to see A Star Is Born. She's probably going to win an Oscar for that. Like, she's the front runner right now, I think.
She certainly has some momentum. I haven't seen very many of the so-called Oscar bait movies, but that is a role that even I think a movie critic is probably going to be initially wary of a singer being placed in a movie, because that's almost always a very opportunistic thing. But she escaped a lot of the scorn that other singers have received in movies. And I think because she played a role that, you know, has a very strong parallel with her own rise as a pop star, she was a natural for it. She had, you know, she had a well-regarded acting turn in American Horror Story. So it's very possible she could be awarded for that role.
Yeah, and that would be, I mean, this would be a whole different kind of stardom for her, especially coming off of her last album was a definite kind of musical shift.
Right.
After all of the big pop stuff that she had been doing, kind of the pop dance stuff that she'd been doing. And it just speaks to this idea of, you know, the old stigma. Vegas stars are less big when they come to play these residencies on the Strip. I think that's over now. I think that's definitely over now with Lady Gaga coming in.
Yeah, she's, I mean, it's, I would say that it's possible that Bruno Mars was slightly more relevant with regards to the charts when he started. Gaga, with her last two studio albums, maybe weren't as big as the two before that. But again, the movie and then the soundtrack now for the movie completely changes that. And she is uber relevant. So, yeah, it is definitely blowing that whole canard out of the water. And it, who knows, maybe inspires someone else who was really not down with playing Vegas on any kind of extended level to be like, well, Gaga's killing it. Other people have been killing it. What have I been missing here? Lots of money and a reliable stream of fans who don't have to wait for you to play their city.
And the capability to do pretty much any kind of show that you want to do. There's a lot of headliners that make a big deal about, and Chris Angel mentioned this also when he was talking about choosing to stay in Las Vegas versus going on tour recently. You just can't put on the same kind of show when you have to pack it up and move it to a new city every few days,
right,
versus you're set up in Vegas, everybody knows where everything's supposed to be, and you can really kind of hone in on what your show should be musically, technologically, all that stuff. It's a big advantage. Park Theater has only been open for 2 years, which to me, I feel like maybe I've just been to too many shows there, but I feel like it's been around a little bit longer than that. But it was only 2 years ago that it opened. The first resident acts there were Cher, Bruno Mars, and Ricky Martin. Ricky's done. Bruno doesn't have any more dates right now. They haven't officially said that that residency is over, but he doesn't have anything lined up at the time. Cher's back in March. And then we got Britney starting there in February. And Aerosmith has some shows, a lesser amount of shows scheduled next year, but they start in April. Does it seem like a lot to have Britney and Gaga in the same room on the Strip? That's kind of overwhelming.
Yes. But you could look at it this way. The success of those shows, because Gaga right now is, I mean, I think every one of the pop shows is either close to or is officially sold out. She's got dates all the way through the net, you know, into well into next year. Mm-hmm. Britney, there's no reason to believe she's not going to sell as well as she did in her previous residency at Planet Hollywood. Hopefully that will subsidize what I would call a more risky or a trickier booking. I would like to see, and it's not as if Park Theater hasn't been booking acts that are outside the mainstream. They have been friendly to the jam band Widespread Panic now for 2 years in a row. And if maybe they can keep diversifying that calendar and booking other acts that are not as likely because of how strong the program is on the pop level, then and I'm all for it. I have a feeling that Gaga and Britney have a mutual respect. I think I've heard them both talk well of each other. It's not like Madonna and Gaga, who don't seem to be very copacetic. So maybe it's okay that those two, you know, share a theater. You know, they don't. And I, even though they'll have a very similar fan base, there's going to be two very, very, very different shows. Britney is a very by the books, sing and dance, the hits kind of thing. Gaga is going to probably be a little weird, and we would be disappointed if she didn't, right? So I think you can have those shows. They'll complement one another in the end.
And like you said, Gaga's actually doing two different shows. She's doing what's expected to be a big, similar to her tour, production show called Enigma, and then she's doing jazz and piano shows in the same theater, making it more of an intimate venue and doing kind of jazzier versions of her hits and some standards and stuff like that, and well-versed in doing both of those things. So But I believe that that is a first for somebody to come in with this many dates and have some of them be, and have them be broken up over two shows like that. I think it's pretty ambitious.
I think it's going to also keep her sane. I got the feeling through some interviews I'd heard in the past that the jazz kind of helps her get through doing all the pop stuff, to have that, to have the yin and the yang sort of appeased at any given time, I think is suiting her creatively. So that might have been what made her ultimately sign this gig, is, you know, her saying, well, if you can let me do this once or twice here and there, then this will work out. And of course, is, you know, she's proved that she can do that with her previous gigs at the Wynn. So, and that's a venue that can handle both performances very, very easily. So that makes perfect sense as well.
Yeah, that's probably the only room that you could do both of those shows. It does. Park Theater to me feels like it's a smaller place than it is, even though it's the biggest of the big resident rooms on the Strip. Lady Gaga at Park Theater, December 28th through the 31st. I think there's actually only three shows in those days.
Yes.
And then she's going to be back in mid-January. Let's run down some of the other big stars that are here for New Year's Eve in Las Vegas this year. Besides Lady Gaga, you have, in those other two big rooms, you've got Celine Dion at the Coliseum. You've got Gwen Stefani at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood. And then you have Bruno Mars doing these two huge shows at T-Mobile Arena, which is basically the end of his... I don't think it's officially his tour. I think that has officially ended. But kind of wrapping up his very long time on the road.
I think this is sort of MGM, who has this long-standing relationship with him now, saying, hey, you know, you want to play the arena for some bucks here, and they grab one of their MGM's other resident performers to open. It seemed like an easy show to assemble, and it puts another huge name on the Strip for New Year's Eve, obviously.
Yeah, that's Boyz II Men opening for Bruno Mars. At T-Mobile, you've got Imagine Dragons at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan, Maroon 5 at their New Year's Vegas home, Mandalay Bay Event Center, Tenacious D at the Joint. That's a little bit different.
Well, we definitely like different to break up all the pop parade. They have a new album out. It's called Post Apocalypto, and they are playing some dates here and there on the West Coast. I think they live in L.A. So this makes perfect sense to have. They're here for Sunday and Monday. I think Monday's show is already sold out, though, so... If you don't want to deal with StubHub, you'll want to go to Sunday night show instead. But yeah, that's a good gig. It's a good different gig to have. You know, they are going to do musical comedy as opposed to some, you know, big dancing number, you know, top 40 hit strewn show. So there's your alternative programming right there.
And then the show, if I go to a concert on New Year's Eve, which I probably won't. But if I did, I would probably go to Living Color at Brooklyn Bowl. I think that's a cool one for New Year's Eve, too. And then in the clubs, well, hold on, did I miss? Is there any substantial concerts that I may have missed in my little short list there?
The only other one I can think of at the moment, Tower of Power, is at South Point, but that's all but sold out at this point. So, sorry, last chance.
And then in the clubs, you've got pretty much the usual suspects. You got the Chainsmokers at XS, Future at Dre's, J. Cole at Hawkasan, Calvin Harris at Omnia, French Montana at Marquee, Tyga at Jewel, Ludacris at Light, Dylan Francis at Intrigue, and Gucci Mane at Tau. Rapper Lil Dicky is at the newest club on the Strip, the aforementioned On the Record at Park MGM for New Year's Eve. I never thought I would, in a professional media platform, be saying Lil Dicky, and now I've done it twice.
That is a lot of hip-hop, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's following trend, though. Clubs, if they don't have a huge, huge resident DJ like the Chainsmokers or Calvin Harris that they're going to bring in for the biggest party of the year, then they tend to go the live performer route.
Right. It definitely also underscores what a big year hip hop had in the clubs and just even what the DJs were playing. So if you want to dance, you obviously have your options with Calvin and Chainsmokers, but as far as the, you know, dancing to a 4-4 beat, but everywhere else, it'll be more of more hip hop jams.
Yes, yes, yes. And as mentioned last week on this show, Drake is going to be at XS during CES on January 9th, speaking of big hip-hop stars. In other show-busy news, Chris Angel pushed back his preview opening of his new Mind Freak show at Planet Hollywood. It was supposed to premiere tonight, the 19th, and now it'll be the day after Christmas, December 26th, at the Chris Angel Theater on the mezzanine level at Planet Hollywood. I am not surprised that he pushed it back. I went into his theater and saw all the, just the vast amount of renovation that he's doing to that room up there on the second floor at Planet Hollywood, and it seemed like an impossible task to make everything work. So he needed a little bit more time, apparently, to get the ducks in a row. And these are just preview shows. His actual grand opening is January 19th. Let's talk about Fuerza Bruta at Excalibur. You have not heard about this one, Mike?
Oh, I've heard about it. I have not seen any preview videos. I don't know a whole lot of particulars. This is in a tent, is it not?
It is. It is in a tent, or it is to be in a tent, right on the strip, in front of the Excalibur resort. Fuerza Bruta is a show that was created, or launched rather, in 2003. It has been all around the world since then. It says it's been performed for more than 6 million people in 34 different countries. The producer of the show, the Vegas version of the show, is Ozono, which is the principal promoter for the Cirque du Soleil touring shows in South America and other parts of the world, Middle East and stuff like that. it's described as like immersive theater. So you're going to go into a tent and the show is going to happen all around you and above you, and you're probably not going to be sitting. It doesn't sound dance clubby per se, but I'm sure there's a lot of music, and I'm sure that there's dancing.
This is not without precedent, of course.
Right.
Maybe some of you listening will remember the Rio did a experiment with the same kind of theater with De La Guarda. I believe this was very early 2000s.
Yeah, I went to that, so same. I'm guessing it would have been, maybe it was even 99 or 2000,
right around that sweet spot. And it did not stay very long, but it certainly, I think it made an impression, you know, that not everything had to be in a traditional showroom. Not everything had to be Cirque du Soleil or, you know, the typical Vegas fair of the time. And even though it's way down the line, I'm glad to see another show like that return.
Yeah, me too. It looks, from looking at pictures and videos of this show, it looks like Fuerza Bruta is a little more advanced than De La Guarda in terms of, like, visual effects and technology, and of course it is. But it looks like fun, and it's just cool to see something new to Vegas, that's different. That's not a kind of a musical stage show or cirque-ish. I mean, there's probably a little bit of comparison with some Cirque du Soleil that's in this, but it seems like its own thing.
And hey, this is something pretty exciting for a property, Excalibur, that doesn't really get a whole lot of exciting anything. They've, you know, most of the stuff in that property has been there for a very long time. I think you sort of overlook it or take it for granted because it caters to a very specific demographic. So this kind of makes one maybe look at Excalibur in a different way. This is a very different entertainment offering for what we're used to over there.
Right. Of course, they have the Tournament of Kings show forever. They're always going to have that show. It's not going anywhere. One of the rare kind of family-oriented things on the strip in the show department. They also have Thunder from Down Under, and they have the Bee Gees tribute show. Both of those shows are actually being performed in a casino space temporarily right now as their showroom is being renovated, but I'm sure that will be finished by New Year. Yeah, it's nice to have something new at Excalibur. And also, if you think about, when I think about what's going to happen next at Excalibur, the stadium is right across the freeway. Excalibur, New York, New York, Luxor, like these places are not, they don't need to do a bunch of new stuff right now. They're going to have a lot of traffic once football and other events start happening at this stadium. They're just the closest casinos, closest big casinos to that space. So it's nice to see some experimentation maybe happening, even if it doesn't need to be that way. Another little bit of music news from this week. The Billboard Latin Music Week is going to be coming back to Las Vegas in April, April 22nd to 25th at the Venetian. And that also includes the annual Billboard Latin Music Award show, which gets broadcast live all around the world, and that'll be on the 25th. This came to Vegas for the first time last year. I believe it had been held in Miami up until that point, and it was kind of a big steal to have this like big Latin music thing leave Miami, first of all. I think that's probably the North American capital for this particular Surely. Industry. So we brought it to Vegas. The show, this announcement does not say where the show is going to happen. I'm going to assume it's going to happen at Mandalay Bay Event Center once again, but maybe not. Who knows?
I believe that it's possible the Grand Garden could take it. They have hosted Billboard award shows in the past, so I'm guessing unless they pounded their fist and wanted to have the T-Mobile arena, assuming that there's no games or other commitments going on. But I have a feeling it's either Mandalay Bay or MGM.
I went to that show, like I said. I also went to the Latin Grammys in the last year. Unlike the Latin Grammys, which was November at MGM, I think, the Billboard Awards, the entire show is in Spanish. So it was interesting for me. I don't speak that language, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And they definitely have the most current, youngest artists. It's all about how they're doing on the charts. So very different from kind of the traditional award show. But a big deal for Vegas to keep that. A little bit of food news in that area of the Strip. South Strip, I should say. Diablo's Cantina reopens this week at the Luxor. This restaurant used to be right on the Strip in front of the Monte Carlo. It was a big moneymaker for the Light Group for a number of years. One of those giant restaurants and bars that just sucks the tourist pedestrians in for some not too expensive food and drinks. And it's been closed for a while, obviously, as Monte Carlo has been remade into Park MGM. And now it is opening on the promenade level at Luxor, where Tacos and Tequila used to be, another Mexican restaurant. It's retaining the old chef from TNT. His name's Saul Ortiz. He's actually one of the kind of great chefs that you don't know their name on the Strip. He's been working there for a long time. His food is really a lot more authentic, probably, than you would expect to get in a semi-cheesy Mexican restaurant on the Strip. So I think it's going to be a very different restaurant than it was when it was over at Monte Carlo. I will check it out, Diablo's Cantina. And then this is a little bit off the Strip, but I think it still counts. Palace Station, a place that has been under renovation and getting really nice and fresh and clean for a long time now. They've got a new movie theater opening today, the 19th, and it's not any movie theater. It is Cinnabar. Is that how you say it?
Cinnabar is Regal's new high-end concept movie theater. Essentially, it is even more of a high-end movie theater than Regal's Summerlin 5 at downtown Summerlin.
Which is my home base for going to the movies.
Well, you may have a new home base because this is nine auditoriums as opposed to five. Mm-hmm. And get this. How would you like your food delivered to your seat?
Yeah, I read that, and I don't know how I feel about that because it sounds awesome. And the luxury theaters as they exist in Vegas now, I think I've seen that happen before, but it's not a regularly occurring thing. But are we talking about in the middle of the movie, they're going to come in with your food?
That very well may happen. I have done this before. There was a movie theater in Dallas that I patronized around this time about 2 years ago to see Rogue One. And I was very wary of the prospect of this because we placed our order shortly before the movie started. But the theater, and I know that Eclipse Theater downtown is also constructed this way. When you go to your seat and you have this little table that can swing up and so you can place your food on it, the server comes in and he is not at the same level as your feet. There is a step down where he walks, like this little trench. So he's not completely blocking everything. You know, he's about as tall as you are sitting down. So it's not quite the obstruction that you'd think it would be. And, you know, they're all trained to serve in a way where it's quick and they're out of the way. So, you know, maybe arrive a little early if you don't, you know, really do not want anything interrupted at all. But if there is an interruption in your movie, it is rather minimal. And this is a nice amenity to have as far as the auditoriums are concerned. There is also going to be a full working restaurant, a lounge. If you want to get a breath of fresh air, there's a patio with patio seating. And I've been told that they will broadcast sporting events in the restaurants, the lounge, the balcony area on TVs, as well as offer the movie programming.
That sounds like fun. I'm a big going to the movies person. I love to go to the movies, so I'll definitely go check this place out. Whether I order food to be delivered in the middle of it, we will see. That's probably not as disturbing as that they have food that's named after movies like Close Encounters of the Crab Kind, which is crab cakes.
I probably would still order that because I like crab cakes and that's a good movie.
All right, let's see what is coming up this week. Well, a lot of basketball, as it turns out. The NBA G League is having its winter showcase in Las Vegas for the first time. December 19th to 22nd at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. The G League is the NBA's minor league, basically. It used to be called the Developmental League. This name is much cooler, I suppose. But it's 4 days, 27 games, the future of the NBA right here in Vegas. Makes a lot of sense. Of course, we have the Summer League here every year. And this coming on the heels of the ridiculous report that possibly the Phoenix Suns could move to Las Vegas if the owner, the owner's using us as leverage. Let's not get excited about it. Let's not get excited.
Vegas needs to slow its roll anyway.
Maybe. More basketball at Orleans Arena, the Tarkanian Classic, which is high school, is the 19th and 20th, and then the Continental Tire Las Vegas Classic, which is college hoops, is the 22nd and 23rd at the Orleans Arena. Tom York from Radiohead is at the Chelsea on the 22nd.
Big, big deal show.
Are you going to that show?
Absolutely. This is just to remind people out there, there's people out in Vegas who don't know that Radiohead twice played Vegas, but it has been almost 25 years since those opening performances. They were opening for other acts. This is the first time someone from Radiohead is playing a headlining show. This is a very big deal. It's going to be very experimental. Do not expect to hear Radiohead songs. Do not expect a rock and roll show. This is electronic gadgets. This is high concept abstract art being put on the big screens. This is going to be one to to really soak in and parse everything that's going on. This will be very unique for Vegas, and we're lucky to have it. He's only playing about 19 dates on this tour.
Interesting timing too. There's not, this is concert wise, this is like the slowest week ever in Vegas.
Yes.
Christmas week. So
yes,
we also have a Iranian singer and movie star and overall pop icon Gugush at the Coliseum at Caesar Palace on the 22nd as well. That's going to do it for Sun on the Strip in 2018. I will be back with someone to talk more Vegas stuff on Wednesday, January 9th. Thanks, Mike, for helping me out.
Thank you. Happy holidays, everyone.
Head over to Las Vegas Weekly to read all the year-end coverage planned there. And also you can catch the All the Vegas Podcast year-end show, which will be up later this week. Sun on the Strip is available on Apple Podcasts as well as LasVegasSun.com. Thanks so much for listening. See you in 2019.